Hello and welcome back to the Pathology Grand Tour. Today is the last stop on our tour and we're stopping off at Cytopathology. I'm Liv Gaskill and in this episode I'm joined by Eva Wojcik, who is Chair of the Department of Pathology, and Helen M. and Raymond M. Galvin Professor of Pathology at Loyola University Stritch School of Medicine, and Dana Rosano, who is a current GI and Liver Pathology Fellow at Stanford and completed a Cytopathology Fellowship at Yale in June 2021. Eva and Dana are here to share what a day in the life of a cytopathologist looks like, reflect on their journey into the lab, and take a look at the skills that make a good cytopathologist. Thank you both for joining us today, and welcome to the Pathology Grand Tour. I just want to start off a bit. Could you both tell us a bit about yourself and what you do and your role?
Okay. Good morning. I'm Eva Wojcik. I'm at Loyola University Medical Center in Chicago, Illinois. I'm a cytopathologist by training and experience, and that's what I do. But I'm also the chair of the Department of the Pathology and Laboratory Medicine.
Hi, I'm Dana Rosano. I am a very newly minted cytopathologist, just passed my boards recently. I finished a cytopathology fellowship at Yale in June, and currently I am a GI fellow at Stanford.
So, to both of you then, did you always know that you wanted to be a pathologist? What made you choose cytopathology?
So, I was a very junior resident back in Chicago, back in Cleveland, Ohio. And that was a very traditional department of pathology. Suddenly, there was a new faculty member, very young, very energetic, very enthusiastic, and he was truly making magic. He was sticking a needle to any lumps and bumps, and he was coming with those amazing diagnoses based on just few cells. And that was Dr. David Dubbs, and he was the one who hooked me on into cytology. And after that, I went to Wayne State University, where I was working with Dr. Suzanne Selvaggi, one of the greatest cytopathologists. I worked with Dr. Naylor, the father of cytopathology, and followed with the cytopathology fellowship at MD Anderson. And that was over 20-something years ago. And I've been doing cytopathology since then. The greatest specialty you can imagine.
And Dana, you said you're newly minted. So what made you choose cytopathology?
Well, number one, that was so inspiring, Dr. Wojcik. That was wonderful to hear. I had a different route to cytopathology. I actually started off my career wanting to do, and still do, global health. And I wasn't sure what specialties would lend itself best to doing that. So when I set up an elective in Uganda, I had the opportunity to work in a FNA clinic along with Dr. Omo Asikbani, who is a trained cytopathologist from MGH. And it was just extremely clear that this was such a good test mechanism, diagnostic mechanism to use in a low resource setting. It was just clear as day that I needed to become a cytopathologist.
Well, Donna, that is even much more inspiring than my story. And you are completely right. Cytopathology is this amazing tool that can be applied throughout the world. There is not much investment. It's really just the needle, a few cells, and a microscope to look at it.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do.
Yeah, I think you have, from my perspective anyway, both very inspiring stories. So can you each take us through a day in the life of a cytopathologist? What do you get up to in a typical day in the lab?
So typical day in the lab, it will be different based on the settings and how busy the practice is. We are practicing here at Loyola. This is an academic institution with subspecialty services in cytopathology. Cytology is one of those services, and it really depends in if you are on so-called sign-out, so meaning looking just at slides, or on FNA clinic service. So that's the beauty about cytopathology, because you can do so many things. Like any other pathologist, you are at the microscope looking at the glass slides and making your diagnosis. But you also have a contact with patients, and you are doing the procedures, finding the aspirations, and you go for ROES or rapid on-site evaluation, where you look if there is enough material for diagnosis, for additional studies, and you are working very closely with clinical colleagues, with radiologists, with gastroenterologists, with pulmonologists. So you are really part of this diagnostic team. So that's, I think, this is the best part about cytopathology, that there is so much variety, and every single day you do something different.
Yeah, that's a really good description of the, you know, the day-to-day work, and it is so varied. And I think that's why a lot of people really love Cyto, and especially the exposure to patients and the one-on-one encounters that you have with patients in the FNA clinic. That's what really made me fall in love with it, is, you know, actually meeting the patients and hearing their, you know, problems in person, talking to them, and even especially in Uganda, talking, you know, more about their diagnosis and their treatment plan even than in the US. But it's that one-on-one interaction with patients that, you know, is kind of unique to cytopathology that we all love.
And I may add a little bit that it is perfect amount of contact with the patient. Just, you know, do the procedure, discuss the symptoms and previous history, etc. Just perfect amount overall.
Yeah, so I guess that's something that pathology as a whole kind of has this misconception of, well, you don't get to work with patients kind of thing. But then I also want to know how closely, you said about working more closely with patients, but how closely do you find yourself working with other pathologists and laboratory medicine professionals?
We are one team, and cytologists only one piece sometimes of the puzzle, especially these days. These days there are multiple type of specimens obtained from one patient, and we have to work as a one team to come out with one diagnosis. So for instance, finding the aspiration of lungs, usually we have cytology material, but at the same time there is also quite often biopsy taken. So either it's signed out or evaluated by one pathologist, and all the information generated into one comprehensive report, or at least we discuss the case with the surgical pathologist. Most importantly, especially in case of lung, we discuss what type of material would be the best for molecular study. It's quite often it's our cytology material. It could be even better than the biopsy. So that's one example. The other best example are usually our working relationship with hematopathologists. When there is any potential diagnosis of lymphoma, we obtain the specimens for flow cytometry, for molecular studies. And that's usually, again, discussed together with hematopathologists to make sure that there is enough material for them and there is one comprehensive diagnostic report.
Yeah, it's a really collaborative field to be in. And also to mention the wonderful relationship that you have with your cytotechs as well, which is unique to cytology. To have that kind of collaboration and that second opinion on your slides, and to be able to do, have an intelligent conversation about the cells together and come to decisions together is really neat.
So
I
then
think
what
we have to overall emphasize that we are a team. We never practice in silos, or we shouldn't practice in silos. Each and every person on the team is equally important, starting with our clinical colleagues, how they are obtaining the specimens, cytoprep technologists, cytotechnologists, etc. We all rely on each other.
So then, what about your contact with other medical professionals in general outside the lab? Do you find that you have close relationships with them too?
We have a very close relationship because, again, we work together. We are at the same procedure rooms, either when they are doing EBASes or EUSs. So it's very important to be there, discuss the case while they are procuring the material, telling them that that's potentially not enough, or we are thinking there are some inflammatory cells, so they better collect the material for culture. It's extremely important to have a good communication between different subspecialties.
Yeah, well said. I mean, I guess it's hard to even describe. And you're doing a great job with it, Dr. Wojcik. Is that idea of that we're really working and functioning as a team with the other medical professionals, and we basically couldn't function without each other.
And definitely our clinical colleagues wouldn't be able to function without us. And we have to remind them at each and every point, whenever we have an opportunity.
Yeah, that's true.
Nice. So then, how has the COVID-19 pandemic affected your work? And how do you think it'll affect, or it may affect, the future of cytopathology?
So this question I have to answer depending what hat I'm wearing. When I'm wearing my hat of a medical director of the entire lab, COVID has affected us tremendously, obviously. So I think in general for laboratorians, that was a great opportunity to show what we can deliver. And Loyola is really truly the best example. We were able to start doing testing in-house on March 19, 2020. That means that Loyola was able to open the door for elective procedures and to have regular patients in the hospital. As a cytopathologist, COVID obviously affected us, especially in the beginning when all of us were fear that was that fear of unknown. However, right now, just the life is like as usual, more or less. The one kind of side effects, and I think that applies to throughout the world, that patients simply for almost a year were not seen by physicians. Delayed their management. So we see kind of more advanced diseases, especially in case of malignancy. So I think that's kind of affected our daily life. But for anatomic pathologists, cytopathologists, there was a little bit of slowing down for a couple of months. But once the testing started, as I said, right now our volume is the same like was before COVID.
Yeah, for me, during COVID, I had entered fellowship before the vaccine came out. And that was a little interesting because, you still had to carry on patient care duties as usual. And trying to interact with the attendings in a new environment, very digitally based, took some getting used to. For sure, but it did have a silver lining of the idea that, hey, we can do this in on Zoom. We can have a consensus conference on Zoom. This is okay. And what that actually opened our eyes to was that cytology teaching can occur in the digital space as well, a little bit more readily available than we had realized. And what flourished from that is that Dr. Diane Kowalski actually has been doing every 2 weeks for the last, I think, 6 or more months. She's been giving lectures, cytology lectures, slide sessions to the group in Ethiopia that I work with at St. Paul's Medical Millennial College, their residents there. And so how wonderful, right? Such a terrible thing as COVID changing our world, but how wonderful of a thing to happen out of that.
I think, Donna, you brought up this very, very important point that really COVID accelerated our acceptance of a digital world, more or less, and especially for education purposes, and convinced people who were very skeptical before that it can be done. So as with everything in life, even something what is so devastating and bad, there is always some kind of good lesson and potentially good outcome. And that's exactly what happened here.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to see some sort of silver lining, though it is a terrible cloud, but some silver lining in the cloud. You've kind of mentioned it there, Eva, but have you taken any career lessons from the past year and a half?
Well, the lesson is to be the leader, really. And as I said, now I'm talking about mostly as a laboratorian, to implement quickly the test was really an eye-opener for our leadership, for our clinical colleagues. The overall, the value of laboratory, the value of pathologists rose through the ceiling, more or less. And I think, the best testimony for this is that we received incredible amount of money to build a new lab during the pandemic. Just to for the senior leadership to realize how significant is the lab, how significant are pathologists. That was really the best proof. By receiving practically a new, completely a new lab. So,
To both of you, do you think that this, obviously, the pandemic has had in some way a lasting impact on the visibility of the lab? Obviously, the public now know the difference between, they're talking about PCR tests and antibody tests. And do you think that this will continue? What do you think pathologists and laboratory medicine professionals need to do to kind of further raise this profile of the lab, of it being an essential need in the patient pathway?
well, the most important, we cannot go back to our basements and continue to hide behind the microscopes. We have proven our value, and now we have to continue to maintain this position. We have to keep telling each and every one of our leaders, colleagues, how important we are. And that has to be done every single day. We know how it works. As I always give an example, for months and months, I, as a chair of the pathology department, was always the biggest hero, and mentioned at each and every senior leadership meeting until vaccines came. And once vaccines came, everything was about vaccines. So again, our role is to keep reminding everyone who we are and keep proving our value. And we cannot do this from our basements. And when I'm talking about basement, I'm talking about, literally speaking and figuratively speaking. My dream in life was always to get us out of the basement, And I have to proudly say I have achieved this, and not only literally speaking, but I think figuratively speaking as well.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You are such a champion for pathology and speaking out of the importance of our role in medicine. And yeah, it's so true. Pathologists know that the foundation of medicine is in pathology. But I think that pathology is neglected not only in the US but worldwide. And everybody really needs to understand that it's just as important to have pathology services for communicable diseases and non-communicable diseases alike around the world.
But it's all in our hands. We have to do this for ourselves. And let's face it, many of us, they choose to hide behind microscopes in those little cubicles in the basement. So we have to get out, stand in the middle of the room, and tell everyone, without me, you could not exist. And we have
Absolutely.
shown this, exactly. We have shown this. This pandemic, as horrible it sounds, was the best thing what could happen for pathology because it has proven that we are the critical point in healthcare.
Absolutely. I love that. So going back to kind of your both of your careers or just starting out in your careers, if you could travel back in time, what advice would you give to your younger self as a cytopathologist in training, or Dana, even as your younger self as a medical student?
Choose your specialty early. I mean, the most important, follow your heart. What makes you excited? What makes you think? Like when I look at those beautiful cells under the microscope, there is nothing more pleasing to our eyes than seeing all these colors and arrangements and tones and hues and this is little puzzle which you're gonna come out of this amazing diagnosis. So follow what makes you excited and stick to it. And also be active. I mean, Donna, you are truly an inspiration with all your global health initiatives. This is what it is. It's not
Thank
only
you.
about career, it's not only cytology, but be active in professional societies. Be there. Be a leader.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Wojcik. You're so inspiring, especially as a female leader. It's so wonderful to see you and leading so well. I guess I would say similar things to my trainee self. Which, it wasn't too long ago. And I think, if somebody is out there thinking about a career in pathology and you're in the medical student stage, I think you're probably going through what I went through, and that when you announce to your clinical colleagues or your attendings that, you're on your IM internal medicine rotation or something, you say, "Oh, I'm thinking about a career in pathology." You're very often going to get a negative response. "Oh, well, do you not like people, or do you not like working with patients?" Some kind of negative response, and I would definitely encourage everyone to ignore that. Spend time in the pathology laboratory with pathologists, and you'll see everyone is extremely personable. It's a wonderful field. It's extremely collaborative. You do see patients, especially in cytopathology or blood banking. But even if you are in a field that you don't see patients, you're still so intertwined with your clinical colleagues and your other pathology members and the other trainees, if you're in an academic center, that you're not working alone. You're not working at your desk alone. You're an integral part of a team, and you're constantly collaborating. So I would definitely encourage medical students to think outside the box and don't listen to the biases that exist.
I would even add to this that communication skills are one of the most important skills which are required in pathology. It's such a misconception about those pathologists exactly hiding somewhere in the basement. We constantly interact, not mostly with our clinical colleagues. And frankly speaking, that's even more challenging, I would say, than just interacting with with patients. And we talk about interactions with patients. There is a perfect amount of that interaction. And if somebody is really would miss this, there is opportunity within pathology, especially in transfusion medicine, blood banking. Our transfusion medicine physicians are on the floor talking to the patients. They do procedures, they are in EMR making notes and everything. So there is again opportunity for any type of personality and needs in pathology.
I love that. It's this sort of field for everybody, which is really nice. So what I want to ask, what has been, it can be the proudest moment or the moment that stands out to you, but the proudest moment of your career so far?
Well, for me, it's going to be easy. I just came back from the meeting of the American Society of Cytopathology, where I received the most prestigious award any cytopathologist can dream of, the Papanicolaou Award. My name will be included to the list, which includes Dr. Papanicolaou, Dr. Koss, Dr. Patton, Weed, Naylor, and all the fathers and mothers of cytopathology. I have to say that was the most proudest moment in my, definitely in my career and almost in my life, maybe excluding when my children were born.
Wow, that's incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Dana, what about you?
Yeah, Dr. Wojcik, I saw that on Twitter and I was just so proud of you also and so well deserved. It's such a wonderful honor and bestowed to the exact right person. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
I think for me, I've been reflecting on that idea recently as I have finally passed all of my boards and I'm getting ready to graduate from training and a total of 10 years of training if you include medical school. And for me, it's very significant because I'm a first generation college student. I supported myself since I was 16 and put myself entirely through, and I've kind of finally made it to the other end. And I guess that's what I'm most proud of is kind of finally making it.
Well,
Yeah.
congratulations. And
Congratulations. Thank you.
well, it took me only about 30 years from that point where I was at where you are right now. So you have plenty of time to get all those awards, including Papanicolaou, and I hope you will.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I think even though you said that you were saying like it's not as big or momentous, but I think getting through 10 years of education in, like including medical school is such a momentous achievement that you should be proud of and celebrate.
Yeah, I am definitely feeling like I will celebrate.
Yeah. So then kind of looked back, but looking forward, for both of you, do you have any personal or professional goals for the next 5 to 10 years of your career?
Don't exaggerate with this time. But yes, I do still have plenty of plans and goals. The moment I'm go not going to have any goals, that's the time to quit. So, still working on the next book. And of course, there I have plans regarding the department, keep it growing, expanding. So I guess it's a little bit too early to talk about this, but hopefully you're gonna hear this in the future, what we have done at Loyola.
I look forward to it.
I have lots of aspirations in the next 5, 10 years, hopefully to hone and refine my skills as a cytopathologist for sure. But I think that the major thing that I'll be focused on is trying to bring more and more cytology professionals into the global health space, and support our colleagues in low resource settings. I know, for instance, that Muzuga Boaz, who is the president of the Ugandan Cytology Society, he's asking for societies in the West, anybody dealing with cytology certification to create scholarships and virtual opportunities to help train more cytopathologists and cytotechs in Uganda. And so I hope that I'll see more and more of that in the future, and hope to be part of, being the catalyst for that to happen.
Yeah, that's incredible. I'm looking forward to following your journey with that. I feel like it sounds so interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you do with that. So then, just my final question for you both then is, what is the we've talked about kind of working with lab professionals and general medical professionals outside the lab, and medical students as well. What's the one key thing that you want laboratory professionals or general health professionals to know about cytopathology?
I think that we have to realize that cytopathology by itself is the way of procure material and the almost the easiest way to procure the diagnostic material. And I want our clinical colleagues to realize that it's not just a pap test. We are doing a lots of through obtaining this material, we can use it for all possible diagnostic tools, I would say.
Yeah, I think that it's important for the clinical colleagues to really understand that cytopathology is more than just the Pap smear, and it is a tissue acquisition method that is sometimes and very often more superior than even core biopsies. In the case of, let's say, obtaining material for molecular treatment, like targeted based treatment for pancreatic cancer, for instance, FNA often yields more cancer cells and bypasses the fibrotic stroma than a core biopsy does. And so in and of itself, it's an enrichment method. And so yes, it's less invasive than a core or tissue resection. And it's often a better diagnostic mechanism. And it's important for everyone to understand that role of cytology in themselves. And then I'd like to also add that institutions should understand that there's a nationwide shortage of cytotechs, and it is incumbent upon them to create more training programs so that as medicine evolves and we continue in this non-invasive biopsy method, we need more cytotechs trained. And so we need more schools started. And that would be kind of my broad message out there, that everybody has a role to play in increasing the number of cytopathology services available to patients.
So then, just kind of on a final note, first of all, thank you for both joining us today. If people want to find out more about you, where can they find either your social media, your pages on your respective institution websites? Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter, and of course on our website as well, which is going to be more official, but I'm pretty active, relatively speaking, on Twitter because I was told by Dr. Mirza that's my job, part of my job description to be there. So I'm there.
Nice.
Isn't Twitter wonderful? Yeah, similarly, I think the best way, it's even better than LinkedIn. Just find us on Twitter.
Yep. We'll put the link to your social medias in the in the show notes. But yeah, that's something that I love about the laboratory medicine community is path Twitter's just be, I'm not a pathologist, but it's just everyone's so welcoming on there and it's such a kind place to be. So yeah, to our listeners, you go find Eva and Dana on Twitter, and thank you both for joining us today. It's been such an interesting conversation.
It was my pleasure to talk about my passion, cytopathology. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivia. What a wonderful opportunity to talk with Dr. Wojcik and you. And thank you for having me.
Well, that's it. We've come to the end of our grand tour of lab subspecialties. We hope you've enjoyed coming on this journey with us. We've certainly had a great time taking you on it. Make sure to share the series with anyone who you think may be interested. And if you want to hear more about pathology and laboratory medicine, or just get in touch with Michael and me, you can visit thepathologist.com. Hope to see you there.